name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and God, amen. I was asked to come talk to you today about the characteristics of a servant. Okay? Now, I'm not one into poetry and all that kind of stuff, but I found a nice poem recently, and I figured I'd share it with you guys. Okay? It doesn't rhyme, so forgive me right off the bat. But I think it gets my point across. At least to me it did. Some people are like wheels. They don't work unless they're pushed. Some people are like kites, but always up in the air, and they could fly away at any time. Some people are like canoes. They have to be paddled. Some people are like footballs. You never know which way they're going to bounce. Some people are like balloons. They're always puffed up, and you never know when they're going to blow up. And some people are like watches. Watches are open-faced, always on time, dependable, faithful, and full of good works. I read this poem, and to me, that summed up service. Okay, believe it or not. Why? Because I think our job as servants, okay, is to be like a watch. Okay? Why? Because I think the world is full of footballs and kites and wheels. People who need pushing and people who need pulling and people who need paddling and people who need puffing up. People who need squashing. And it's the job of the watch, which is the servant, to wash their feet. Okay? To take care of everyone else. Okay? If you want to know what service is, okay, maybe another better definition we can start off with someone instead of the funny poem is Mother Teresa. Okay? Mother Teresa said it in two words. Okay? Giving and serving. Okay? Giving and serving. There's a verse. I know you guys don't all bring your Bible, so I gave you all the verses that you need on your handout. Okay? It says, "For the Son of Man did not even come to be served, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Okay? Mother Teresa summed up service in these words. This verse, to me, is the ideal verse of a servant. Okay? When I got ordained as a priest last November, this was the gospel reading during my liturgy of my ordination. So, you know, I spent a lot of time meditating on this particular verse. And to me, if you want to sum up service, you sum it up in these two words, giving and serving. Okay? But that's kind of a general. Okay? We want to get into some more specifics. What are some specifics? Of course, there's lots of characteristics of a servant. Okay? And I'm not going to talk about all of them. But I did give you a top 10 list, so to speak. Okay? A list of 10 qualities which I feel are important at least to discuss. If not the most important, at least some of the most important ones. Okay? The first one. Okay? I must be called by God. I must be called by God. The first characteristic of a servant is there has to be a calling. Okay, there has to be a divine kind of appointment. Okay, has to be. It's never something which we do ourselves. We don't hire ourselves. We get hired, kind of a thing. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9, the verse you have there, says that we're talking about Christ who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. What does the word holy mean? What's holy mean? Set apart. Very good. Okay? Very, very good. That's the best definition. Set apart. Consecrated. Okay? When we say holy, we're describing who? God. Okay? Very good. God is holy. It's kind of, we actually misuse the word holy when we call each other holy. That person's holy. Only God is holy. So none of us are like God. So therefore, by definition, none of us can be holy. Okay? We can try to be holy, but only God is holy. So we have a holy calling. Okay? Meaning that we are set apart for something. Okay? Look at it this way. Look at it from this standpoint. Okay? God created every one of us. Agree or disagree? Agree. God is a wise creator. Agree or disagree? A wise creator doesn't create something that's useless. Agree or disagree? Therefore, if God is our creator and God is wise and God created us, He's created us for a purpose, for a reason, for a use, for something to do. Okay? So when I say calling, I don't mean, okay, go home and pray and then God will reveal Himself in a cloud or maybe the traffic light will speak to you tonight or something funny like that. No. We've all been called to serve. But the important thing is realizing that calling. Okay? Human beings are like, and service is like a battery. Anyone ever seen a spoiled battery? Like a really, really old battery? It's gross. Okay, if you haven't seen it, like let's say you left a battery in a flashlight for like 20 years and you went to open it up. It'd be all gooey and slimy and it's gross. Why? Because it wasn't used, Okay? When the battery doesn't get used, it spoils. It goes rotten. I'm telling you the same thing for us. Okay? God creates us to work. And when we sit and we're lazy and we don't serve, then we spoil and we get rotten. Okay? God created us for a purpose. The purpose is not to watch as much TV as possible, to sleep until noon every day. The purpose is not to eat as many potato chips in my lifetime as possible. Okay? God created us to get up and do something. Okay? If you, any bodybuilders in here, anyone work out a lot? Mark Argus, okay. Mark Argus is a bodybuilder. What would you say? Okay, let's say Mark Argus is huge, like one of those guys that has to walk like this on the beach and stuff. Let's say he's one of those guys. Okay? And let's say you go to someone like that and you ask him, you know, why are you working out? And he's like, just because, man. What would you say? That's silly. You know, like, why? There should be a reason. To win a trophy, to impress a girl, with something. Okay? There should be a reason why you're doing it. Not just for the sake of it. Okay? That's what God's saying to us. Okay? God wants you to pray and read the Bible and hear sermons. Why? See, very good sermon. No, He doesn't just give us stuff so we can just take it in. He gives us so that we can give it to others. Okay? For a reason. So we can use it. Okay? It's very important that everyone realize that we are, that we're called to service. Okay? We're called to service. Now, you being here specifically in this class means that you are called to a specific service, which could be Sunday school or whatever, this and that. But regardless of that, like on the general scale, we all have a calling, okay, to serve. So that's one. Number two, I must have a clear vision. I must have a clear vision. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. King Solomon says, where there is no vision, the people perish. If you talk about dead services, like if you say, like, let's say a Sunday school class, and it's dead, and it's boring, and no one wants to go, and this and that, why? What's the problem? Usually it's vision, okay, or lack thereof. When we don't have a vision, then we're not pushing, we're not challenging anyone. Let's say you just go to work, you know, and you're waiting for your boss to tell you what to do, and he's like, eh. You know, whatever. Email, internet, you know. How successful is this company going to be or this department? You know? The successful companies or departments or whatever are where the leader has a clear vision of what we want to accomplish and what we want to get to. Our problem is that we are, like, depressed in our vision or unmotivated. We have very, very low expectations. You treat people with low expectations, you get low results. Okay? Our job as servants is to have a vision. Okay, what is our vision should be? Okay, what was Christ's vision when he was on this earth? Did he have a vision? Let's say the 12 apostles. Okay, he saw, you know, some fishermen. Did he have a vision? Or did he treat them like fishermen? How did he treat them? As if these are the future pillars of the church. And did it work out for him? Yep, they changed the world. Okay, he had a vision. Okay, same with the Samaritan woman. He had a vision that this sinner woman can be a missionary. Okay, can you believe that? We take one of these kids who's lighting the church on fire, and we tell him we want to throw him in jail. Okay? Can you believe that we're supposed to have a vision for them? And my Sunday school class, I have a vision for them. And that vision is that each and every single one of them prays, and that each and every single one of them loves God, and each and every single one of them loves their neighbor. I'm not going to stop until each and every single one of them does that. Okay? We have to have that vision. Okay? Believe me, if the servant doesn't have the vision, the followers never will. The apostles would have never come up with that vision on by themselves. But it's like a trickle-down thing, okay? We follow the leader, okay? How the leader goes, we all follow him. So if we're going to be servants or leaders, we have to have a vision, okay? And we have to, every situation, we know we can improve it. We know we can make it better. We always have that positive thinking, okay? So that's two, is a vision. Number three. Okay, now that I have my calling, okay, I was called to serve, and I have a vision. What do I do next? I must develop a spiritual discipline. A spiritual discipline. And I know this is kind of like anti of what you were hoping would come next. You know, I have a calling. God called me to do something. And I have a vision. What am I going to do? So what's next? I'm going to stand on the rooftop and proclaim, you know, all these great things that I just got. And God says, no, discipline. What do I mean by discipline? What I mean by discipline? I'm borrowing this term from the monasticism life. What I mean by discipline? asceticism, okay. Specifically, like what?
If I'm tired, I don't want to pray, I just...
Very good. What they call is your spiritual rule, is what the monks called, okay? Means, I set for myself a rule. I will pray 2 times a day. I'll read the Bible 1 time a day. I will fast every Wednesday and Friday on all, you know, occasions. I will be at every liturgy at this time. I set for myself a rule, and I discipline myself to keep it. Period. Okay? And as Vivian said, when I'm tired, I do it anyway. When I'm sleepy, I do it anyway. You know? I set for myself a discipline. Okay? This is the most important thing that we always fall in. Okay? We don't keep the discipline. Okay? Moses had a calling, burning bush. Moses had a vision, my people will be free. What was his next step? Discipline. God's going to teach you what to do. You know? You're going to go and spend some time in the wilderness so you can go unlearn everything that you just learned. Discipline. The reason that we have to be disciplined is because you can never... Okay, a servant is a leader. Okay? A servant is a leader. A leader can never take someone a place that he hasn't been to. Right? If I say, okay, everyone follow me. You know, we're going to Nevada. If I've never been to Nevada and I don't have any map or anything, why are you going to follow me? How far are we going to get? You know? I can only take you where I've been. You know? So if I haven't been anywhere, where the heck am I going to take you? You know? I have this great vision that everyone's going to pray and everyone's going to love their neighbor and I hate my neighbor and I never pray. Okay, who cares what your vision is? You know? We can only take people... We can never take people to a higher standard than we have achieved. Okay? We can never take people higher than we have achieved. Just like they say, the disciple is never greater than his master. Okay? So we as the servant have to... Whatchamacallit? Go high. The thing is that when you set yourself this discipline, okay? Isaiah tells us in the verse that we have here. Well, this is God speaking to Isaiah. Before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. He's telling him, you know, do your discipline and you just watch and see what's going to happen. You just watch. You know, you stick to your discipline and I'm going to bless your service. And I'm going to bless you in ways that you didn't even realize. You know, nothing is hidden from God. God sees the efforts. God sees the waking up in the morning when no one's there. And God sees that when no one's around, you know, how am I maintaining myself? God sees all those things and he rewards. Okay? So, specifically, like I'm going to get a little, like these are all general things, but there's some areas I'm going to go a little specific. Okay? I'm going to tell you your discipline. Okay? I'm going to be very nice to you. I'm just going to give it to you straight out. Your discipline, at least one of them, is to get up in the morning and pray. Okay? To get up every morning and pray. One more time. To get up every morning and pray. Not to get up, do your stuff, pray as I'm riding the bus, pray as I'm making my sandwich. You know, I pray without ceasing. I'm above that Agbaya stuff. I pray without ceasing. I'm praying all the time. Come on. Don't give me that. Come on. We little kids say that stuff, okay? We don't say that, okay? You should pray without ceasing. You should pray while riding the bus. You should pray while you're eating that bologna sandwich. But you shouldn't replace your regular prayer with that, okay? That's in addition to. Okay? Praying between commercials is another good one. I'll pray at halftime. That's great. Don't let that be your only prayer. Okay? Early morning prayer blesses the whole day. Okay? Trust me. You get up early in the morning. You give God 10 minutes in the morning. You watch what he does all day. There was a famous... every time I tell the story, I forget it more and more. Can't remember what it was. It was a saint. And I can't remember what the exact story was. But anyway, the point is that he spent a lot of time in prayer. And he was really busy one time. So his assistant came to him and said, you know, you were praying a lot. You know, like let's say he woke up at 5 in the morning and prayed till like 8. You know, so they were supposed to get started on the day and they had so many things to do. He said, how can you afford to spend 3 hours in prayer when you're this busy? He said, I'm so busy, I can't afford not to pray for 3 hours. You know? So he kind of turned it around. The more busy you are, the more you got to pray. Okay, the more you got to do, the more you got to spend time in prayer early in that morning. Okay, and just watch. Okay, so we have our discipline. Now, the next thing is I must maintain the highest possible level of integrity. Integrity. Anyone know what integrity means? Integrity. It's not a car. It's Integra. Okay, very good. That's part of it. What integrity means, it comes from the word integer. Integer means, yeah, one. Okay? A whole number. Okay? One. If you have integrity, you are one. Meaning, when I'm in front of Amy, I'm the same way as behind her. When I'm in front of a class, I'm the same way when there's no one watching. When I stand in front of the whole church and I proclaim the doctrine of the good news, okay, it's the same way as when, you know, I'm at home with my kids or whatever. Okay, one. Meaning you are one. Okay? This is one of the most important things in the service. If there's anything that has taken away from Christianity, that has hurt Christianity more, it's the lack of integrity. Okay? Because people see lack of integrity and it deters them from the whole faith. You know, look at, you know, in this country you have the, I'm not familiar with them, but the TV evangelist, Baker and those guys, you know?
Oral Roberts.
Whatever, you know what I'm talking about, okay? The people who preach one thing and do another thing, okay? That hurts Christianity more than you can imagine. Integrity, okay? The thing about Christianity and ministry in particular is that a service or a ministry is only as strong as its weakest link. Okay, I repeat. A ministry is only as strong as its weakest link. Meaning, if I take a group of five people with me, and we go to the bushes of Africa, and we're going to preach to these people about Christianity. There we go, that's some cold air. And I'm going to preach them about Christianity. I'm going to tell them the importance of being pure, and being honest, and loving your neighbor. And four of us are doing that. And there's one schmuck who's over in the back, you know, like beating up an old lady in the corner. Okay? And we say, be like us. Does it matter how good I preach?
No.
The schmuck did me in. Okay? That's what integrity means. Okay? You're only as strong as your weakest link. The thing is realize that the day you declare, I'm a servant, okay? That's, you're declaring full-fledged war on?
The devil.
Public enemy number one. Okay? So he's going to look for anything he can do to take you down. Which is easier? Okay, let's say, let's go to, I don't want to use G.I. Joe, but I'm going to use G.I. Joe as an example. Okay? I used this in the sermon one time, but it's the only thing that comes to my head right now. I'm sorry. Which is harder for G.I. Joe to defend? When Cobra comes attacking from the front? Or that time when they sent Sergeant Slaughter and he was a spy? Okay? Sergeant Slaughter was in the middle of them. I'm sorry. Really, honestly, I was hoping I'd come up with a better example. I was trying a sports, but there's nothing. Okay? I only know sports and cartoons. I'm sorry. Okay? When the Cobra, when they were working with Sergeant Slaughter and he was on the inside, he could destroy G.I. Joe and they almost lost that one. Okay? Same thing with us in the ministry. Okay? It's much better for you if you're gonna be on the devil's side. I'm saying, no, you're on the devil's side. But I'm saying, if you're gonna, you know, work against the kingdom of God, that you're on the outside. Okay? And it doesn't matter to me what people on the outside do. They can attack, they can do whatever they want, I don't care. But when it's on from the inside, that's dangerous. Okay, and that's where problems happen. Okay? These days, like I was saying, people don't trust anyone anymore. Okay? And especially if we're talking about kids and youth. Okay? They've been let down by everyone. Everyone in the world lets these kids down. So the last thing they're going to do is put their trust blindly in anyone. Before a kid comes and listens to your great message and your great sermon, believe me, they are checking out the way you act and the way you talk and what you do. They're checking you out as a person much before they hear your message. Okay? And that what they see is much stronger than what they hear. Believe me. Okay? So, our Lord told us, but let your yes be yes and your no, no. But whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Very clear. You know, no nonsense. Yes, yes, no, no. Okay? If I'm against impurity, I'm against it 24 hours a day, whether I'm by myself, whether I'm in front of all the people. Okay? That's integrity. Okay, number 5. I must seek to be faithful in all things. I must seek to be faithful in all things. St. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Best example I can think of here is King David. Okay, what'd you guys put him as an example of? What was he? King David was willingness. Okay, that's very good. That applies to what I'm saying here. Willingness. Okay? King David, greatest king in the history of Israel. You know, and everyone says King David, you know, and they sang about him, he was the best. Okay? Did God come to King David one day and say, you know, I want you to be the king over thousands and thousands of people. Will you take the job? Is that how God approached him? What was David's command to do? Okay, before that.
Tend the sheep.
Very good. Okay? His job was very easy. His dad told him, here's 10 sheep or 12 sheep or whatever. You guard them with your life. So David, what would we do is we say, the sheep? No. I want the glamorous job. You know, little sheep, who cares? One dies, one goes. When I get to a position of importance, then I'll be faithful. Okay? That's not the way it works. God saw David. He laid down his life for that sheep. And he cared for that sheep. He did anything he could for that sheep. And he never left that sheep. You know? Even after he was anointed as king, he watched the sheep. And even, you know, we said about working for King Saul. Even if you're careful in reading the Bible, even when he was, you know, helping out Saul, he still would go back and watch the sheep. He was caring about those sheep because that was his mission. God says, you did a good job in taking care of that. I'm going to give you more. Okay? That's the way. We don't prove ourselves on the big stage. Okay? We prove ourselves, like I said, when no one's watching, when no one can see us. Another good example here also is, I don't want to use a basketball example. Basketball example. Michael Jordan. Okay? Michael Jordan, when he came out in the 1985, he won the slam dunk contest early. His famous dunk was what? Jumping from the foul line. Okay? He jumped from 15 feet away and slam dunked the ball. Champion. Okay? Do you think that Michael Jordan just came out, you know, on in front of national television and said, I think I'll try the old foul line one. You know, I've never tried that before. It sounds like a good shot. You know, it's the hardest thing I can think of. Do you think that's what he did? Most likely, he had done it probably 5 billion times when no one was watching. And he practiced. And he messed up, and he did it again. And he messed up, and he did it again. Okay? Faithful in what is little. Okay? Doing it when no one's watching, and then you know, you get your chance on big stage. Okay? We'll come back to faithfulness, because that's really important. That's going to come up later. Next one. I must be bold in the face of difficulty. I must be bold in the face of difficulty. Like I said, when you say, I'm going to be a servant, full-fledged war on Satan, okay? And Satan is not a nice guy to deal with, okay? He's rough, and he's scary, and he's mean. Service is not for the weak, and the soft, and the delicate, and the humble, and the quiet. That's not what service is. Those people get squashed very quickly. Service is for the tough, the bold, the courageous. Who's going to stand up and say, it was tough last week, I'm going to get back up and do it again. You know, who's going to be mentally tough? Who's going to be, you know, not giving up easily? Not giving up when I go to class and, like I said, my kids are trying to burn my car in the middle of class. You know, trying to set my car on fire. Am I going to just give up and call it quits? You know? I still remember, okay? Some of the old-timers may remember it too. When I was a kid growing up here, okay? I'm telling you, every time I see a certain individual, okay, who was my Sunday school servant for like 5 years, I give him the biggest hug and I tell him, you know, you're the man. Because the stuff that he put up with, that we did to him, you know, we honestly, like, I couldn't believe that he, like, why didn't he quit? We kept saying, we're like, what's he in it for? He's not getting paid. You know, why is he doing this to himself? We're so rude and so disrespectful, but he stuck with it. Okay? And he really stuck with it, and he showed that he's going to be tough, and he's not going to give up. Okay? That's what the kingdom of God needs. It needs tough people. It needs fighters. Okay? It needs people who, when the devil throws a little monkey wrench in the works, they're not going to give up and say, oh, well, we tried. They're going to get up, and they're going to stand up, and they're going to pray. And then they're going to fight, and they're going to work, and they're going to do whatever they can not to let the devil win. Now, some people may say, okay, that's not my personality. You know, I'm not like that. I'm not that you know, that fighter, that bold personality. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized they had been with Jesus. Peter and John. Someone compare Peter and John for me, what their qualities are. What we know about them. What we know about them from the Gospels. They're okay, compare them and contrast them. What were their personalities like? Yes, Mina? Okay, but I'm saying as far as was one a little feistier than the other?
Peter,
okay? When we think of boldness, Peter fits. Peter was bold. And Peter was, you know, they'll never do this to you, Lord. And pulls out the sword, you know? But when we think of John, do we think of boldness? John was the soft one, right? You know, laid on Jesus' chest. And he was all talking about love and love and love, you know? The disciple whom Jesus loved, and he wasn't bold. And his gospel is not like the other gospels, you know, they talk about the woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, but John's is very, it's very, it's very like soft, you know? So how is it they're describing John as bold? Where does the boldness come from? Obviously it's not his personality. It came from the rest of that verse. Realize that he had been with Jesus. Okay? Spend time with Jesus, Jesus will give you what you need. This goes back to the discipline, the spending of time with Jesus in the morning. I spend time with Christ in the morning, he takes care of me in the afternoon. Okay? We all have to have this characteristic, and it's going to come from God, not from us. Alright, number 7. Everyone still with me? Okay, good. Number 7. I must always maintain my level of humility. Okay? Humility. Now, I didn't want to put humility, but there's another word, but I couldn't get it to fit. But and you can write it in anyway, which is teachableness. Okay? I don't think that's a word, so I didn't want to write it in there. But teachableness. Write that in parentheses next to it. Because that's what I'm trying to describe. Teachableness. Okay? Being teachable. St. John the Baptist is the best example we can think of here. Okay, he says he must increase and I must decrease. The day that you say, I must increase, is a very bad day. The day that you have arrived on the scene, you know, I finished the servant preparation program, I'm ready to go. You know, that's very dangerous. Okay, we always have to maintain that teachableness. Okay, meaning that I'm never, you know, how dare that person say that to me? You know, who is this servant coordinator to tell me this? Or even worse, I've seen it even, who is this priest to tell me this? The priest is wrong in this situation. Okay? This is not the teachableness that we need. Okay? We as servants are always learning, always being taught. Okay? The more we learn, believe me, this is the way I feel. I don't know. Anyone else can tell me something different. The more I learn, the more I realize I don't know. Okay? This happened to me with hymnology. Okay? I started learning hymns. All of a sudden I'm like, okay, and there's a group of like, you know, there's only like 10, 15 hymns in the whole church, I'll just learn those. Every time I learn a hymn, I realize, oh, there's a couple around it that I don't know. I guess I'll just throw those in the mix. But I learned one of those, and I'm like, oh, well, there's a whole other group. Every time I learned a hymn, I learned there's 15 more hymns that I didn't know. And the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know anything. Okay? That's the way our life of spirituality should be. And life of service. We're always trying to learn more. Don't ever, ever, ever. This is something we have to pray against always. Okay? Which is pride and ego and selfishness. Always keep it in your daily prayers. Okay? Because that was the first mistake. Okay? And that's one of the worst ones. Okay? Included in this, okay, one of the most important characteristics, which I did not list, is wisdom. Okay? Because I decided to include wisdom under this. Okay? Wisdom tells you, don't be a fool. You know, you don't know anything. And wisdom is one of the most important things for any servant. As we know, when they chose the deacons, one of the characteristics was they had to be full of wisdom. Okay? Okay, that was number 7. Number 8. I must always remember to laugh. I must always remember to laugh. You may think this is a funny characteristic of a servant, but believe me, this is one of the most important ones. If you can't laugh, you know, in life, but especially in the service, if you can't laugh, you're in trouble. Okay, especially if you can't laugh at yourself. Okay? Everyone needs to learn to laugh at yourself. Okay? And you need to learn to laugh in general. Never, ever, ever do we get so bogged down with, oh, you know, the problems and this and that, that we forget to take time out to laugh. No one wants to follow a servant who doesn't laugh, okay? No one wants to follow someone who's boring and sleepy and always depressed. You know, we like funny people. We like to lift the mood a little bit. I'm not saying we're doing stand-up comedy or anything like that, but I'm saying, you know, I read something. someone was bashing this idea of, you know, any preacher who uses any type of comedy or laughter or humor is, you know, a disgrace to Christianity and all this kind of stuff. So someone replied back to him and said, which is worse? A couple of minutes of laughter or an hour of slumber? You know, they're basically saying, when you talk, you know, you put people to sleep for an hour. When I talk, they may laugh for a couple minutes, but, you know, hey, they get the message in the end. Okay? Proverbs chapter 17 tells us, a merry heart does good, like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Okay? A merry heart does good things. And there's people who do nothing in life, but they're always happy. You know? And they somehow make other people happy. You know? And that's what Christ did. Didn't Christ make people happy? Then he saw, you know, a lady who was really depressed about her son. So he wanted to make her happy, you know? But he raised her son, you know? He likes to make people happy, okay? One of our jobs is to try to lift people up and never to depress them, okay? So don't ever forget to laugh. Also, just for your own sanity's sake, okay? Life is funny. Number 9, I must display some charisma. Some charisma. C-H-A-R-I-S-M-A. Charisma. What does charisma mean? What does charisma mean? What is charisma? Are we still spelling it? Do you want to write it? Anyone know what charisma means? Spunkiness. What? Spirited. Okay. Attitude. Okay. Enthusiasm is good. The best definition I found is the ability. The ability. The gift that makes people want to please you. Okay? First of all, it's a God-given gift that makes people want to please you. What does that mean? What are we talking about here? Yeah, charming. Okay, but we have to be careful when we get into charming. No, but you know what? That's actually good. I'm glad you said that. Because it is like being charming. And the thing is, charisma or charmingness can be used for evil or good. Okay, be very careful with this one. Okay? If I'm a charismatic person, okay, that means I can, you know, like motivate people and get them to do what I want. Let's say I don't know anything about God. Let's say I'm an evil person and I'm charismatic. You know, and I can convince, you know, a bunch of people to lock themselves up in Waco, Texas and light the place on fire. You know? So, this is one of those things that can go either way. You can use it for good or use it for evil. Just like all things, okay? But this is one of those you got to be careful with. Why is charisma important? First of all, did Christ have charisma? I think he did. Look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. That's only one example of so many times in the Bible where people followed Christ. People wanted to be with him. People wanted to be around him. People wanted to do what he told them to do. People always wanted to please him. That's what I mean by that charismatic spirit. Okay? It's not enough for us to have a good message. Okay? If I have the best message and the best doctrine and the best theology and the, you know, everything's right, but there's no oomph, there's no charisma, there's no something special about it, it's nothing. I'll tell you the best example is baseball. Every pitcher who plays baseball, from Little League to Randy Johnson, takes the same ball, exactly the same, throws it the same distance. But you're going to tell me there's no difference between the way Randy Johnson throws that sucker versus when Nader Henne comes up here and throws it. Sorry, Nader. Of course there's a difference. Content is the same. The ball is the same. But the delivery is big time different. Okay? And that's the way it is with us too. I can have a great message. But if I'm throwing it like that, okay? We're going for that. You know, we have to deliver it. Okay? So we have to have charisma. Number 10, the last one, which means I'm going to stop talking, means I must seek to develop in the area of people skills. Okay? People skills. A wise person once said, service would be easy if it wasn't for the people. Service would be easy if it wasn't for the people. Okay? I think we can all agree to that one. Everything would be easy if it wasn't for the people. This person probably wasn't even Egyptian. What we got to realize is, yes, people are, you know, people can annoy us. People can bug us. People can do this. People can interrupt us. But you have to be careful. The people are never an interruption to our ministry. People are our ministry, right? We're not what we're building is people. That's what we're trying to produce here. It's something that lasts. The only thing that lasts is people. Nothing else lasts. The only thing that lasts into eternity is people. So our job is people. So we have to learn how to deal with people. Okay? Now, one of the things that we have to do, unfortunately, as servants, is we have to be counselors. Okay? All of us have to be counselors. Now, when I say we have to be counselors, there's a bit of a danger here. Okay? We are not professional counselors. We are not psychiatrists. We are not lawyers. We are not doctors. We are not policemen. We don't fill those roles. But we do have to fill the role of a temporary counselor. Okay? Meaning we have to, people come to us and share things with us and open up to us and things like that. Now, like I said, we're not professionals. So let's say you're in a situation where you were providing ongoing counseling, and someone for whatever situation. That's not good either. Okay, you're not a professional. Our job is like the first point of contact kind of a thing. And then we can ship people off to the right direction. Okay? So we are counselors and we need those people skills, but we're not professionals. But if I'm talking about counseling, the most important thing about counseling is it's done on a one-to-one basis. Okay? It means that me, as a person, needs to be able to deal with other people on a one-to-one level. Okay? Me, as a person, needs to deal with other people. Christ did that too. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14. And when he went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Okay? Christ was tired. He was probably hungry, and his back hurt, and his neck hurt, and his shoes was uncomfortable. But he saw a multitude of people, and he had compassion on them. You know? That's the way we have to be too. We don't have to become best friends with everyone, but we do need to have the people skills to be able to serve. Okay? Last thing I'll leave you with is a bit of encouragement. Why should we do all these things which I just told you to do? Like, these things are hard, and they take work, and they take effort. Why? Whatever it is that motivates you, whatever it is, that's fine. But there's one thing that should motivate us beyond belief, okay? And it's one little sentence. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Repeat that verse every day. You will be a much happier person. Repeat that verse when things are tough. Repeat that verse when you don't want to serve. Repeat that verse when you don't want to pray. Repeat that verse when you don't want to do anything and see what happens. See if there's a difference. In service, many are called, but few are chosen. Okay? And you know that many people start off serving and they're, fiery and they're, ready for service and then sputter off and die. Many people start off in service and don't make it through. Why? Because we're not faithful. Okay? We have to be faithful. Faithful to the very, very end. keep that in mind. Well done, good and faithful servant. Imagine that one day. If you think about all that you want to accomplish in this life, you want to be great in this world. Imagine that you stand before God one day and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. That's enough. That's enough to make me get up in the morning. That's enough to make me get up and pray. Just the thought of God saying, good job. I'm proud of you. Kind of a thing. So we'll use that as our motivation. Okay? Any questions? And glory be to God forever. Amen.